Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, speaking to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic skyline of Buckhead, where we have had more rain, and it's about time we're probably going to be building an ark. This is we've had more rain so far this year than we had the entire year last year. Well, I'm going to start right out. We've got a lot to talk about today, and President Obama's just back from his successful trip to Africa, where he succeeded in infuriating the entire nation by telling them that they should adopt our permissive policy about same-sex marriage. Over there, they don't have the same view, and they didn't like it. And he didn't know enough to keep his mouth shut. This, of course, followed on the heels by infuriating the Chinese and the Russians over the Snowden thing, where another scandal has come out, where we are absolutely bugging everybody, not just people who are potentially our enemies, but our closest allies and ourselves. I wanted to ask, I lost my keys today, and I nearly called NSA and asked them if they could tell me where they were. All right, now, just off of this $100 million vacation, they have just announced that in August they're going to go to Martha's Vineyard, which is very nice. While they have been home, President Obama hosted the 5th annual Ramadan Iftar party for Muslims at the White House. We're so thrilled that he took this opportunity. It's kind of sad, I believe, that the World War II Normandy invasion memorial, which every president has honored on June 6th because of the Normandy invasion in World War II, up until Barack Obama, and he has not honored our World War II veterans at all. But we have created a new precedent, and that is having a Ramadan Iftar party for Muslims at the White House. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that think that that's a really good idea. I'm not one of them. I don't think that's a good idea at all. At any rate, there are the news is filled with all of this stuff about Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. And I'm going to just say, Richard, my brother's on the line. How are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. I've been listening to some of this, and you know what? I thought maybe a wishful dream that once he was acquitted that this would go away, but some of these communities continue to stoke the fire, don't they?
They continue to what?
Stoke the fire.
Yeah. Yes, they do. They absolutely do. And, you know, one of the things, all right, we have done a pretty good job, I think, of staying away from the Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin thing, because truth of the matter is, I don't see Zimmerman as a hero. I don't think he should have gone to jail for murder or for anything, frankly, but he's not a heroic character, if you ask me. And Trayvon Martin is certainly not what they picture him in the media as, this kind of like 14-year-old kid. The photos of him at the time that he that the incident happened when he was 17, he's a pretty imposing guy. And, you know, one of the things that people just, that I don't think that they think of, but I know that we would, and I'm going to just address a little bit. I haven't heard anybody say this. Guys look at one another, particularly when they're young, and they say, I can take him. All he needs to do is look at me cross-eyed, and I'm going to beat his ass. That's what guys do. They do it all the time. Now, the pictures that they have up in the media of this 14-year-old kid, he would not be a match for this Zimmerman at all. But when you see the ones of him where he's 17, Zimmerman would stand a chance against that guy. I mean, Trayvon was stud. I mean, he was put together and big, and a guy like Zimmerman wouldn't stand a chance in a fist fight with Trayvon Martin. Now, that he had a gun.
Didn't I understand he was over, he was like 6'2", and they portray him at about 5'6" as a 14-year-old kid.
Yeah. And that part isn't true. Now, none of that, he shouldn't have got shot. The whole thing shouldn't have happened. Did he ask for it? I don't know. Maybe was Zimmerman, you know, over anxious? To me, it kind of reminds me of Barney Fife with an attitude. And therefore, he did that. That part of it, I want to just put aside because I don't think anybody really knows. But the things that I do know are the political parts of it. And Judicial Watch, a week ago, through the Freedom of Information Act, was finally able to get documentation that the Department of Justice used one of their civil rights branches, which is supposed to foster racial healing. It funded the anti-Zimmerman protest with taxpayer money. The Department of Justice, in a state case. How does that work? How is that the role of the Department of Justice to instigate protest? And why would they do it? What is your take? What do you think? Why would they do that?
Want to continue to have this division in this country because it makes them look better.
Speak up.
Hello?
Speak up. I can't hear you.
Oh, put it to your good ear.
There you go.
I think that they, you know, want to continue to divide the country as much as they can racially in order to continue their agenda of what it is that they're trying to do to this country.
Well, this particular agenda is the anti-Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. I think they were salivating for Zimmerman to get off so that they could use this as an anti-gun thing. Well, look at how terrible this is. And this is exactly what they're doing. It seems like a very, very, very poor reflection on our nation and on what's happening. And the other parts of it is that because people are consumed with this thing, which is just such an amazing little deal to me, how they could be so consumed. But what it does is it takes all of the attention off of Benghazi, off of the, you know, illegal wiretapping and, you know, of Rosen and the
IRS,
the AP and the rest of them, the IRS. And it puts the focus squarely on this case. Now, this isn't the first time this has happened. Well, I mean, you remember O.J., you remember the beating of Rodney King, the in the 60s, the Watts riots in L.A. Now, that was a bigger deal. But, you know, the and Scott Peterson, the preoccupation with these kind of cases. The, you remember the skater, Tanya Harding and
Nancy.
And who?
I can't. Nancy.
Kerrigan.
Kerrigan, yes. Yes.
Kerrigan or Harrigan. Well, we're going back in the archives of the brain to come up with that one. But there was this fascination with, and we have these things, and they just
Kerrigan.
Go on and on. Kerrigan. And the, Nancy Holloway. It isn't Nancy Holloway, but, you know, the girl from Alabama that, you know, that went down there, and Bjorn Bondersloot, was last seen with, and we've never seen a hide or hair of her again. But that was something that we were consumed. But there are these things, and this is one, and it is being used by the administration as their kind of anti-gun deal. And it's working. I think it's sad, but it is. And what's even worse is that we get caught up in this minutia.
Yeah.
While we are losing our place as the leader of the world economically, the Chinese.
We're fiddling while America burns.
Yes. The Chinese, the Brazilians, several others are not trading in dollars anymore. Once the dollar is no longer what is used, our entire society is going to take a huge backward step. And it isn't like this may happen. It's happening and will happen. And the reason is that we're flooding the economy with dollars that have no backing. So it's essentially, there are three times the dollars out there that there were when Obama came into office. And they're just pumping this into the, and yet these other countries, they're having to say, well, wait a minute, you know, that artificially keeps our standards up at the expense of other people, and other people aren't willing to do it. And you can't blame them, really.
No.
But it doesn't need to be that way. We don't need to lose our place as the predominant nation of the world. We can be energy efficient. We can be not have the dependency on foreign oil at all. We can be energy independent. We should be using our coal instead of, you know, we should be fracking. We need to be doing the things necessary to strengthen our economy, but we're not. We're doing the exact opposite. And the military, Obama is just like whittling off one thing after the other and actually giving away assets. And now they're calling for, you know, stopping all aid to Egypt now that Morsi's out. And they've even got, you know, Republicans like John McCain and Lindsey Graham calling for the same thing. It's a mess. And it's not getting any better. And it's not going to get any better. And yet, here we are. There's been no progress on the talks about Benghazi. It's just like everything has come to a screeching halt while the nation becomes totally consumed about a trial in Sanford, Florida. I don't get it at all.
No.
And there are worse things that happen. There's one here this last weekend in Georgia. This guy was walking, and he was a white guy, and I think he was about 60 years old, maybe 50. And four black guys walked up to him and said, "This is for Trayvon." And they just started beating him and beat him so bad and threw him in the middle of the street, and cars ran over and killed him.
And you don't hear anything about that.
Yeah, this is the first you've heard of it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I didn't hear anything on national news about that.
No, it's that happened, it's been about a week ago now, maybe just a little bit less. But
you think the Department of Justice is going to look at that for a hate crime? I didn't hear anything about it.
No, and it is a hate crime. I mean, here, let me just mention one other thing. A real and substantive thing is Major Nadal at Fort Hood, and his trial is going on. Do you hear anything about that? Nothing. And they have deemed that work-related violence, where he killed, 13 people?
13, yeah.
Slaughtered 13 people.
30.
Yeah. You know, Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin, Zimmerman didn't set out to just kill this man. That one's for sure. That it happened, and that maybe he shouldn't have been where he was, and all of that, you can say maybe, or maybe not. But Nadal's different. He loaded guns and started firing, saying Allah Akbar, and killing people, and saying
first degree murder,
premeditated murder.
Absolutely.
And yet they're calling that workplace violence.
Yeah.
What about the civil rights of these soldiers?
Yeah.
What about that? Do you know, they're doing everything they can. I mean, they've waited 5 damn years to put him on trial. One whole year, we can't put him on trial because he's got a beard. You're supposed to not have a beard, but he's got a beard. It took them a year before they made the decision. Let's just strap him down and cut it off, and did, finally.
Yeah.
Now, they've delayed it a little bit because, he doesn't want to wear a uniform because, he really is in the Army of Allah. And, this is an Army deal. And they said he's going to wear a uniform, and they're going to put him in one whether he likes it or not. But it's like there's this insanity, and it goes all the way through. And you see these things, and you say, let's go back to Zimmerman. Zimmerman, he profiled, and that's how come, Trayvon's dead, is because he profiled him and said, he's black, and all blacks are thugs, therefore, so I need to shoot him. I mean, that's kind of like what they're saying the thinking is. And yet, in the newspapers, when they're putting this picture of him where he's a 14-year-old, semi-innocent-looking kid, instead of the 17-year-old stud that he is when he died, it's like, okay, they're profiling too, because they're saying, if we put this picture in, everybody will take a look and say, whoa, that's an imposing young man. And with his tattoos on his face and the strength, he would be way more for a match for Zimmerman. And so they wouldn't do it because they want to foment this anti, and then call, say, well, this is white, he's a white man, and white men, and make it like this is a black-white issue, even though he's Hispanic, and Hispanics are an oppressed minority themselves, according to the press. Well, which is he? Are Hispanics white, or are they Hispanic? And, it's like they're confusing this, but because it doesn't fit their little thing of where they, want to have, his girlfriend be like Precious in the movie, and be this sweet thing. It doesn't fit, but they're trying to make it fit. Why? So that they can keep all of this stirred up, but more than anything, so that it keeps things away from Benghazi, away from, the IRS scandal and all the rest of it. I mean, have you heard anything about any of these things in week?
Nothing.
I know it. And we need to know it. These are things that absolutely positively need to come out. But in here, the clock's running. And they're pumping more dollars out, and Obama is increasing his agenda, and he is regulating like things are law the mess. Now he doesn't want to implement Obamacare until we can try and win back the House of Representatives. Because as soon as this stuff goes in, you talk about hitting the fan. It's going to hit the fan in spades. So, okay, even the unions are up in arms with him about Obamacare now because they're saying, whoa, when this stuff comes in, all of these employers are saying, to people that are full-time workers, say, we're cutting you back to 29 hours because we can't afford to pay for your health care. It's just too much. So we're going to have a nation that is full of part-time people. Right now, only 47% of working people who are capable of working are. 47. 53 aren't. And that doesn't include, retired people. This is some really serious stuff. And yet, everything is about, the virtues of anal intercourse. And isn't this something that, oh, yes, this is fair and everybody needs, we need to change the law and that this is the most important thing. Well, our economy is absolutely slowing down, and yet something, much of business is doing well because they're making these people part-time, getting almost full-time work out of them, and, and paying them much less. So the profitability goes up. But the American worker is not able and will not be able to sustain themselves. So people are going to have, the mom's going to have two jobs and the dad two jobs. Well, in all of this, because we have people in charge that are clueless about what they're doing. They don't know at all. It's a mess. But we had an iftar party at the White House, fifth one since Obama's been president. has it every Ramadan, and Ramadan goes by the lunar calendar, so it isn't the same time every year. But nothing for the veterans. Because of sequestration, on the 4th of July, they didn't get fireworks. Well, we can't afford to do that, but we can afford a $100 million vacation in Africa.
We couldn't let 8th graders walk through the White House because we couldn't afford to have people there, staff. But we can feed the Islamic community.
So many of these things are just in your face.
Yeah.
And they are in your face.
Why in God's name are we taking it?
Well, President Obama...
The nation of wusses.
Well, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wonder, where does that $100 million come from, and how is that approved? All spending begins in the House of Representatives. Where did that come from? Who approved that?
Yeah.
Who's responsible for letting him do this? Well, he's responsible himself, obviously, since he's president of the United States. But, you know, if we had as big a following as, like, Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh, they'd be all over you and me because we're questioning their fundamental integrity. And it seems to me that in the progressive worldview, everything right and wrong fluctuates. And the only thing that is an absolute is they're always right and we're always wrong.
No, we're not wrong. We're evil. We're not wrong. We're evil.
Well, actually, we'd say they're evil, but they would say that we're old-fashioned, that we're out of touch, that belief in God and, you know, belief in the values of this nation are out of step with what is with the direction that we're going in history. Well, if that's true, then we're not going very far.
Yeah.
You cannot have a rudderless nation, and Obama leads from the rear. He sees what the prevailing political wind is, and that's what he'll push that wind. That's why he's always campaigning. But it's not principled. Not like, well, this is what the law of the land is, this is what the Constitution says, and we're going to follow this because that's what my oath of office is. He didn't believe that at all. I think that because he's really not he's not an American and should not have even run because he's constitutionally unqualified, that once he made the decision that he would forego being straight about that, then, you know, it's kind of been the hell with the Constitution. I don't care what it says. I'm going to do what I want as best he can. And so far, he's done it, and now he's doing it with impunity because he does not, because he can't run again. And, you know, and what have we got? Hillary Clinton in the wind. Oh, my goodness. What a time. At any rate, you know, this is what's happening, and we got some really tough stuff ahead. And I hate to say that, and I would really like for us to have a better report, but I don't see it right now. Maybe some things will be helpful in the future, but we're out of time. So let me just say thanks, Dick, and God bless everybody, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.